listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
In August, I had an article published in an online parenting magazine called Inner Peace Parenting. And the title was, Your Child's Soul is Showing. For many people, the idea I expressed in that article, that each child is a soul who comes to the earth and lives in a physical body for a lifetime, is unfamiliar. Yet, increasingly, we are all having our attention directed to who we really are and what we're really doing here on the earth. And to help us along our way, on today's show, I'm interviewing Omina, a soul historian. Welcome to Full Power Living, where we focus on helping you and the world to understand the power and importance of human emotions. We broadcast over blogtalkradio.com and emotionalpro.com and distribute through iTunes. You're also invited to call. Today's show is one in which you're invited to participate by calling our toll-free number, which is 888-498-0570. That's 888-498-0570. Omina is also known as Philomena McGee, and she has the gift of knowing. She's a natural-born clairvoyant, a soul historian, a spiritual counselor, a coach, and a medium. And you can find her on the web at about.me/Philomena, Philomena, _MCGEE. And I'll put that on the chat. Omina uses her gifts to assist you in exploring ways to break life patterns that no longer serve your higher good. She says her life mission is to help bring people to a higher level of self-awareness without feeling like they're in therapy. She educates people about their soul's history, which explains why you act and think the way you do, promising to delight and surprise us with her unique abilities. Omina, I offer you a warm welcome to Full Power Living. It's delightful.
Well, thank you very much. It's a real privilege to be on and to be able to talk to you, especially about the soul.
All right. So I understand that we have a person who's been waiting for some time to talk with you, so I'm going to ask you two questions, and then we'll go right to callers.
Okay.
Remember, our number is 888-498-0570. So if you'd like to have an opportunity to talk with Omina, get on the line now. So you refer to the soul as inner consciousness, Omina. Tell me
what
you mean by this.
Well, it's your inner the soul comes from spirit. And this is part of our inner consciousness. And we constantly hear about the soul as a potential expression of feeling joy, sadness, sorrow, despair, passion, and love to the depths of our being. And we hear and read and care about the soul, experience of soul awakening, asking God to save our souls. We have soul music, dancing, singing, food. People search for their souls, looking for soulmates, healing their souls. We hear about soul people selling their souls to the devil, retrieving their souls from the devil. In our history from the soul, you know, it comes from spirit. It's the energy. When spirit decides to ascend into a human life, the spirit is masculine and feminine essence. Only one of the essence will descend. And that energy then becomes, they're given the gift of soul to help them on their journey and record everything they've ever experienced. And so we create and deny all that we love. And we have all the tools to be able to change what we need to change. We just have to ask and listen and trust the feeling responses from our heart. And it's like our, you know, the soul loves us enough, but not loves us, but not loves us as we are, but not enough to leave us that way.
Uh-huh.
And they don't. So I want to explain, before we get the call, I want to explain the soul has an ego, and so does the personality.
Ah.
Yes, and this is for the higher good. The ego of the soul is encouragement, gratitude and observance, and the personality ego is envy, gratification, and obsession. So if you're doing either one of those, if you're doing the ego personality one, then you have to shift up the gear to a higher gear and go for the encouragement and the gratitude and the observance. So, and that's part of our soul's purpose is to, part of our soul's journey is to overcome the demands of the personality's ego.
Uh-huh. So that's why a program such as Oprah, for example, talks a lot about how powerful gratitude has been. That's one of the reasons that it works so well, is it's part of the ego.
Well, if there's no gratitude, there's no joy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly how it comes out, because people don't know why they're not happy and they're not feeling joy. They need to look at what they're not grateful for.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, if they start being grateful for all the little things, they grow into big things, and then that energy comes back to them, and that brings them the joy. It's looking for something, you finally find it, you're grateful and you're happy you found it, you know, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
Yeah, it's learning more about to be able to do gratitude and to be able to know what that feels like. There's also the journey of the soul is to, I mean, I can go through this litany. It'll be very quick if you want. I mean,
sure.
It's power, you know, if we can't stand in our own power, we're going to experience powerlessness. And if we can't accept who we are, we're going to be rejected. And if we don't have compassion, we're going to be judged. You can't do both at the same time. And if you don't feel abundant, you're going to experience poverty. And dominion versus domination, and dignity versus shame. If people don't have dignity, they're shame-based. And that interferes with the life that they want, the life of their higher good. And everybody deserves a life for the higher good. So part of the soul's purpose is being able to achieve all of those things and learn them. And the personal history of the soul is healing the old wounds and patterns from the past, including this life as well as past lives, because we bring them over.
I've run into a few of mine from past.
Well, we're supposed to run into a few of them. You're going to know you have a soul connection when you meet someone that you absolutely love right away, or you hate them right away, okay? And the soul work can't be done unless there's a great attraction either way.
Oh,
it's
I
like,
see.
You know, when somebody's totally infatuated with somebody, it lasts about 3 months, and after 3 months, then they begin to hate all the things they loved about them.
Yes.
So there's some karma there.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That they have to pay attention to, is that part of their pattern.
Uh-huh.
So, and the spiritual essence is, you're either a masculine essence or a feminine essence. And that has nothing to do with gender, but if you're a masculine essence, you process everything through your mental body, and if you're a feminine essence, you process everything through your emotional body. So if you have two people in a relationship, you know, well, I'm feeling this. Well, I don't know why you feel that way, because I think. And it sort of gets confusing if they don't understand how they process things.
Right. We certainly ran into that about 15 years ago. I married my husband, who's a neurosurgeon, and he's very mental, and I'm known as the emotional pro. Put those two together. We have exactly that. Just
exactly, and one can come across as being over emotional, the other can come across as being totally detached.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it creates a problem if they don't understand what their essence is.
Right, and the key for us for getting through it is just to recognize that we have a difference, not that there's something wrong with either person.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. That comes down to the acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And there's four basic fears people come into the world with, and that's fear of failure, fear of abandonment, fear of rejection, and fear of expression. And that's what I work with on people when I'm doing their soul history. I tell them which fears they're working on. And some can be acquired in this lifetime, but mostly they come in with them. But they pick families that might do the rejection because it's supposed to force them to accept who they are or to learn to stand in their own power.
Oh, my gosh. My family worked perfectly. Okay. That's exactly what I ran into.
Exactly. If they can heal so much quicker if they can look at the family unit, why they picked that family unit.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And you see an awful lot of people coming from adverse circumstances and learning to stand in their own power, and they become very successful.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole purpose to begin with.
Yes. I'm really resonating with what you're saying, but I'm aware that we have a caller, James, who's been waiting quite some time.
Sure.
Good. Okay, James, are you there?
I am. Hi.
Hi, James. Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
That's good. And what's your question?
I'm just wondering what you could talk about my soul history.
Your soul's history?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, you definitely came in with the fear of rejection and the fear of expression. They're the two things that you're working on now. And and part of it is you're a feminine essence, so you're processing things through your emotional body, and sometimes you're not too sure how to do that because you have a difficult time sometimes identifying your emotions. So you have some healing work to do. Okay? Somewhere around the age of 8 years old, you made an absolute decision about, let me see, what did you make the absolute decision about? Well, you couldn't do anything right. And that creates a problem for you. That feeds into the fear of rejection and the fear of failure.
Wow, okay.
Do you have anything specific you want to ask me?
I definitely relate to that. Is there anything that the soul is encouraging you to tell me in regards to how to heal the rejection and the...
Well, part of the problem with all of that is personalizing, okay? Personalizing what other people say to you. And what you have to remember is that when somebody is going off about something, and if it's negative, that tells you more about them than it does about you.
Right.
Except that you have the problem of taking on other people's energy.
Right.
And that drags you down, and sometimes it gets you depressed.
Right.
And then you're not too sure where to go from there. Okay.
Right.
So I would suggest that you make a list of the things that you're struggling with. Make a list of your fears. Remember, fears are irrational, except the natural fear that we're born with. The rest are irrational in terms of how we internalize that. It's really arrogance when we think we're less than, and it's arrogance when we think we're better than. And that's where all the decisions come from. You allow other people to define who you are. So what you have to do is look for your own power. Make a list of what holds you back, and then make a list of what you accomplished.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you. That was great. Thank you.
James,
good.
Let me add something to what Amina is talking about. I've written a series of booklets called the Bounce Back Series. You can find them on my emotionalpro.com website in the store. And because... experts don't write books. People have things to learn. These are some of the issues I've needed to learn. So there's a booklet there on bouncing back from energy sapping and another one on bouncing back from being a victim that might help you, and they're not very expensive, so you might want to just look at them.
I definitely will. Thank you.
Just honor who you are, James.
Wonderful, wonderful advice. Wonderful. And I'm really,
I'm
really glad that that James stuck with it and, okay, give me some idea of how to heal this, because it's one thing to know and another thing to know what you can do about it.
Exactly. And it's hard to give them all those tools in a short time.
Yes.
But if we spark the curiosity where you can start looking, then that's a big plus.
So, James, are you still there? No, he's gone. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your question, James. So you say that you were born with this ability, but I also know that you worked as a therapist for a period of time. How did you get all of this to come together? Because you sound really sure, Amina. Well, we're born with this and we have that. Where does this come from?
Well, I was born into a very adverse, tragic life, you might say, but for some reason, none of it ever stuck to me.
Uh-huh.
And I always had the intuitiveness from a very young age, and I always knew what was safe and who was not safe. Of course, at that time, I grew up in a small place, and everybody raised their children.
Uh-huh.
And I was always curious, but knew I had the ability to see things and hear things and do all kinds of things, but then I annoyed everybody. I annoyed all the adults in my world, and they just told me I asked too many questions and I was too powerful. And for a while, I took that as a negative, until I realized, wait a minute, then I realized that they didn't know what I knew, and then I was able to focus on what I needed to do. And then it was all about growing. I mean, I came to this country with a sixth grade education. And just out of sheer curiosity and to get over my fear of failure, I decided I'd get my high school diploma and go to college. So I did all of that while I was raising children. And then I worked.
Goodness.
Yes, and then I worked, you know, in family violence, drug addiction, HIV, AIDS, which I loved doing, and now I'm in the mental health field. I still work full-time. And I incorporate a lot of this with when the opportunity presents itself. When the opportunity presents itself, I use the spiritual part as well, because that's identifying with people, finding the common things. And you remember, I can see into their soul, so I can put out their strengths and show them to them. And that's very powerful for them. So
I've been developing that side of myself, and it really is wonderful. What I'm, as a 42-year therapist myself, what I'm excited about is that we're able now more and more to bring this into therapy and not be shying away from it.
Absolutely.
Because it's so important. Yes.
And we can only bring people as far as we are ourselves.
Yes, absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
I have a question. I told you right before we started the show that I just came back from spending time in Ireland with my 8-year-old granddaughter, and that's your home country, and it was really wonderful, and I'm really glad we went. But when my granddaughter was younger, I guess she was about 5 or so, she accidentally severely injured 2 fingers of her younger sister's hand by closing a door on it. Not something, it was all accidental. And I had a talk with her while we were traveling. In fact, she brought it up, saying that there was a pain in her heart, and it was like a hole in her heart. And I would like your help. And I mean, I talked with her, and I think we got to someplace, but she's unwilling at this point to forgive herself, which is what we were talking about. And
What's your name?
Her name is Amelia.
And what's your sister's name?
Ava.
They came into this lifetime to do some healing work together. They've had some very volatile lifetimes with each other. Mm-hmm. They were in Germany, and they were brothers, and she was the older one. And they were very, very poor. And as the boy, he was very, very aggressive. Amelia is very, very bright, and she's trying to overcome her impulses. And part of her decision was to come in and love Ava a lot more and accept her for who she is. Sometimes she still struggles with that. And the fact that she accidentally cut her fingers in the door, that totally brought up the pain from the past lives. And what she doesn't understand about, that's where it's coming from, which you can suggest to her that she has to breathe through it. And all she has to do is forgive herself for doing it. She can definitely ask her sister for forgiveness, but her sister's already forgotten because she's a totally different person. And but Amelia has to forgive herself, and she grows, she will. Because you know what happened to her when she hit those fingers? She felt the pain. She felt the pain. It was like she felt the pain more than Ava did.
Yeah.
And that was to remind her that you're here not to do that.
Yeah, our concern was that she seems to be thinking of herself as somebody, believing that she's somebody who hurts people. And
comes from her past life.
Uh-huh.
And when a 5-year-old, they're wide open to all of that. Okay. And as she gets older, you can explain all that to her, that she came in to heal all those old patterns.
You know, somebody in Ireland suggested that, and when we had the talk just last week, I did suggest to her the possibility that the two of them had come in order to do healing together.
Oh, they did.
And she was open to the idea, so.
That's wonderful, because Ava is a very free spirit, and she's very creative, and she doesn't take things to heart the way Amelia does.
Right, that's true.
Yes, so their energies in that sense are very, very different. Amelia's a mental essence and Ava's an emotional essence.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So when you're talking with Amelia, then you're going to have to put it in a logical sequence to her.
Okay. Thank you.
Whatever analogy you can use that children use.
Okay, good. Well, thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
I'm concerned for her. So, I As I was preparing for the show, I was thinking, for many years, I've looked at our Earth as a giant school that we all come here in order to grow and evolve. And it seemed to me, as I was learning more about your approach, that you might be amenable to that. But I want to ask you, what's your take on what we're all doing here on the Earth? Again,
well, the Earth,
I know you mentioned it some, but...
Yeah, well, the Earth is definitely, the planet Earth is the only Earth where souls can experience the mental, the emotional, the physical, and the spiritual all in one body. Okay? And
mm-hmm.
there's lots of other souls in other planets that are clamming to come in here because they love that whole mixture of everything. What happens is you have free will that gets into that, then you have all the personalities that get into that, mostly the ego demands, and that's where they begin their journey away from the spiritual reason why they came. And that's why we end up with so much strife with individual relationships, racial relationships, world relationships, because everybody is on the journey to prove they're right rather than doing the right thing. Or they're doing much right rather than doing the right thing, you know. But the Earth is definitely the place where it has everything that we need if we don't abuse it. But it's got, I mean, it's an amazing, amazing planet. I don't think there's any other one in the universe like it.
Yeah, not to mine either. It's, you know, one of the things that I've seen is that the Earth is a concrete environment, so we get really fast feedback. You make a decision, you make a choice, you take an action, you get feedback fairly quickly on whether that was right for you or it wasn't. So it makes it a
absolutely
really,
and the Earth has its own rhythms. The Earth has its own, it has its own rhythms, it has its own life, and nothing messes with Mother Nature. Mother Nature is going to do what Mother Nature does. It's all energy, and it's
mm-hmm.
like it's about respecting the energy. And it's, you know, people are afraid of certain energies that the volcanoes and the you know, the waves, what do you call it, tsunamis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tsunamis to me are reflecting. When they go off, they're reflecting the emotions of everybody on the Earth.
Wow.
Because water is motion.
Right.
Emotions, you know, it emotes everything. We're mostly water. So there's definitely a relationship between all of that. And then it brings everybody's fear up. The Earth cleans itself of the negative energy. It shifts, it moves, it cleans, it burns, it does all of that.
Okay, but I'm curious now when you're saying that. I can certainly go along with that. If the Earth is cleaning itself and the tsunami's reflecting emotion from people
mm-hmm.
and fear comes up,
yep.
how is that clearing? Is it bringing it up so people will look at it and move past it or what?
Well, people are not aware that the Earth is cleaning itself out because they're not even aware that they need to do their own emotional clearing. And so there's not an awareness about it on a spiritual level. There's not an awareness. There's not even awareness how energy attracts energy and how it's either going to blow up or it's going to flow easily. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
what it does. Energy attracts energy. Water will always find its own way of where it needs to go.
Right.
And that's the energy of it. I mean, and that's how we are. It's like I had somebody last night doing a reading for them and they couldn't understand the relationship that they're in. And she's definitely growing, but it's like trying to understand. She gets all confused when it gets emotional.
Mm-hmm.
So it's coaching her to understand her emotions and to name them. I have a 5-minute brain thing. You name it, you claim it, you own it, you heal it, you let it go. That's the 5-minute brain train. Name it, claim it, own it, heal it, let it go. That's the brain train. You have to train your brain to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And in essence, you're honoring yourself when you can name it and you can claim it, that it's yours and you can own it. You allowed it to happen. And then you go about healing and then you let it go. Because
mm-hmm.
nothing can happen to us without our permission. That's the free will part. So we
mm-hmm.
give permission on many different conscious levels.
Okay. I'm taking
so when you become
here.
Really aware, you can't get away with anything. I can't get away with anything anymore.
I know. Isn't that awful?
Well, I think it's a pain in the you-know-what, yes.
Well, you know, I was trying to explain to somebody, I learned that about taking responsibility. And my understanding is that we are responsible for whatever's going on with us, and therefore the more of our personal responsibility we take, the better. And it also helps our self-esteem improve. But once you start taking responsibility, it's like a never-ending activity, because you want to, I was trying to describe, I get a pleasure out of replacing the roll of toilet paper on the,
right.
on the, you know, because it's taking responsibility.
It's very difficult to take responsibility for some things if we don't understand it, especially because people are very well trained to blame other people. Now, that comes from the lack of self-dignity, because then they end up being shame-based. I mean, we can have parents that shame children. If it goes on a ritual basis, then the child internalizes that shame. So they end up thinking, you know, they can't take responsibility. It's very difficult to take responsibility if you're shame-based, because it makes you more shameful.
So how do you heal shame? How do you suggest healing it?
Well, I do hypnotherapy on people.
Ah.
And I have them go in there because I have the ability to guide them. They don't have to do anything other than what they want to do. I can see what they're doing. And then what I have them do, sometimes I have them rescue that child that they've locked away for safety as a protective, as a survival tool. Because oftentimes I have people where you have 2 5-year-olds in a marriage. They're trying to be in an adult marriage, and they can't. Or you might have an adult who's in a marriage with somebody that's emotionally 7 years old, because they shut down at that age. And the 7-year-old feels such pressure from the demands of the relationship,
yeah.
it creates all kinds of problems. So lots of people, when they understand that, and then I bring them there, and then they have to become a parent. They have to become a parent to the child that they didn't have. That's the bottom line. I use the core issue is somewhere in there.
Yeah, so it's all about reparenting yourself. That's really
well,
good.
Well, yeah, I have a tendency to do 20 years of therapy in an hour.
Well, as things are changing so fast, that's what we really need to do.
Oh, yes, because the energy has sped up so much that everything is beginning to change very quickly, and you transmute all the negative into the positive. And I think if people can get in their brains, am I doing this for the higher good, it's already going to start changing their energy.
Okay.
Whether it's for themselves or somebody else, they're already, it's a paradigm shift that goes on in the brain.
And just by asking, am I doing this for the higher good, every time you go to do something, you can create that paradigm shift.
Absolutely, because you're already questioning and you're already opening that door. Now, how many people listen to the answer is another thing, but, you know, it's the other thing I tell people is when somebody, they're having a conflict with somebody, they need to stand back and say, is this mine or is this theirs?
Mm-hmm.
And that's taking responsibility for themselves. If it's the other person's to have a choice, they can just listen and say nothing and just say, well, that person is on their journey. It's like you can love people, you don't have to like them.
Yes, that's really true.
You
that's
know?
True. Well, I've actually gotten so interested here, I've skipped a break, and we need to take a break right now. So
okay, I'll leave my phone on, I gather.
Yes, you stay right where you are. I'm talking today with Omina about your soul's history, and she says that the key to a balanced life are the 4 realities, which we'll be exploring after our break here on Full Power Living. So come right back.
Do you know that emotionally, children form the foundation for their life during their first 7 years? Most adults just repeat that early emotional learning, good or bad, over and over for the rest of their lives. If you want to give your child an opportunity to live an emotionally masterful life, then join me, Eileen Dillon, also known as the Emotional Pro, for a free one-hour teleseminar on what it takes for your child to become an emotional master. You'll discover important things like what emotions are designed to do for us. four things it's vital for parents to tell their children about emotions, and the single most important thing to do when someone is feeling emotion. Register now at RaiseIncredibleKids.com. The time has come for us to allow emotions their rightful place in our lives as the tools and helpers they're created to be. Find out what you need to know in order to give this vital information to your children so they can live emotionally masterful lives. Go now to RaiseIncredibleKids.com for your free Emotional Mastery Teleseminar.
All right, welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. Those of you who have been following this show on a regular basis will know that I've just returned from a two-week trip to Ireland where I had a fabulous time. And believe me, when I booked this show with Omina, I did not realize that Ireland is her native country. But how nice that those go together like that. It's the way the world works. So I met and got to know many great people, and my 8-year-old granddaughter Amelia and I both gave presentations at a parenting conference on life skills for children that was held in Dublin. And I talked about emotional literacy, and Amelia talked about financial literacy, which she had been studying in her third grade class. So my hope and guess is that a number of people that I met in Ireland will be listening to the show today, and I want to give a shout out to you to say thank you for sharing yourself with me and letting me get to know your wonderful selves. Next week, we have another wonderful person, Brent Marchant, who's been on Full Power Living before. We're going to be talking about consciously created cinema as we explore the Theater Lover's Guide to the Law of Attraction. So you can talk about some of your favorite movies and how the themes of the Law of Attraction, what we can learn from the movies about our spiritual growth when we talk with Brent next week. Also, sign up at emotionalpro.com to be on our mailing list so I can share these details with you, and also we can get to know one another. This coming week, I'm being part of the launch of a new online academy, Creating Champions for Life, and we've got 31 experts on life and family work working together to help families and children. So come on to emotionalpro.com, and we'll give you that information also. Today, my guest is Omina. She's a natural-born clairvoyant, soul historian, spiritual counselor, coach, and medium. And we also have, Omina, right away, we have more people who would like your input to their lives. So, do we have Dakey? Is Dakey there?
I'm here. Can you hear me? Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good, good. Omina, I'm loving what you're saying here. It's very intriguing.
Well, thank you.
I thought I caught that Irish brogue when you were talking earlier.
Well, thank you. How do you spell your name?
I spell it first. D like David.
Huh?
D like David, E-A-I, Dakey.
Okay.
Okay. I was most alivened when you were speaking about the ego and the soul. And
yes.
I wondered, could you speak to that and a little bit more? I wanted to give you a chance to speak more about that. But also, I'm curious for myself about the distinction between ego and soul for a couple of different angles. One is that I feel so much as if I live a daily life, and it's in the course of normal activities, which are about traversing the material world, where I feel real connected with spirit. And yet I'm interested to make sure my ego's not getting in the way when I work with other people. So that distinction is personal, but I'd love to hear more just about your view of the ego and soul in a human incarnation.
Well, I think that for you personally, when you're working with other people, I think that you're probably over-eager in trying to validate them, and that creates to where your empathy turns then into the compassion, and then it's a little bit that you're trying to rescue them so they can feel better. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I love everyone to feel very happy.
Well, that's your ego demands, okay? Your ego is demanding that. And I'm going to say something now, and don't take it too hard. There's no dignity in that. What that is, it comes across as sympathy, and I want you to look up sympathy in the dictionary and see where it lies, because I can't say it over the, air. But look it up. So what you want to do is the empathy, and it's honoring their journey, and allowing them where you're supportive, but you're not rescuing them. So when you'll know your ego is in there when you're trying to get their approval for helping them. It's very subtle.
Thank you.
Get much better at not doing that. You are getting much better at not doing that, okay?
Thank you.
That's exactly, yeah, that'll definitely help. That'll turn, if you do therapy, that'll turn you from a good therapist into a great one.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And what else did
you... Thank you so much for that, personally. And speak more about your view of the ego.
Which one?
Because things you said at the beginning about the ego is part of our journey here, and it's all part of the soul's work. We have
absolute,
a lot of controversy.
We come in naturally wired with the high to do things for the higher good. Okay, we're naturally wired with that because that's our spiritual heritage. So, in the ego of the soul is encouragement and it's gratitude and observing. Now, you have to remember there's free will choice, and we all need personalities in order to be able to survive on the earth and be able to deal with people and be able to enjoy life. But what happens with the ego, if it's anywhere hurt at all, it turns into the envy, and it turns into the gratification, and it turns into the obsession. So that doesn't serve anything. That just brings more energy, and that just doesn't make us feel good about ourselves. It's a temporary fix. So they're the two differences. Like I said before, when you're banking on somebody or you're talking to somebody or you're doing something or somebody asks you or whatever it is, if it's an opinion and you say, is this for the higher good? Because when you think of the higher good, it's going to start changing how your brain thinks. It won't always be stuck in the muck and mire of everybody else's stuff or even your own muck and mire, okay? So it's about learning what the egos mean, and it's about even if you went around saying it in your brain, it's going to change the energy in your being. It's going to raise the vibrations. If your vibrations are raised, you're going to be able to raise other people's.
Mm-hmm.
And it's reminding people, asking them, well, where did you get this belief system? You're not about, I don't change people's belief systems, but I definitely believe in challenging them. You know, so, well, because I don't want to take anything away from them that they need for their journey, but I most certainly, there's nothing to stop me from giving my knowledge or educating them. When I worked with addicts, and I would tell them, I'm not going to have you give up the drugs, be the best drug user you want to be,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to walk out of my office the most educated one, and you can't blame anybody else. You know,
that's an interesting thing to do. Most therapists don't have the guts to do that, but that's the most powerful thing you can do, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's the most powerful. You know why? You're acknowledging who they are. You're giving them dignity. Their choice of how they live is their choice. It's not my job to judge them. My job is educate you, understand you, give you some empathy, send you on the way, raise your consciousness. That's my job. And, of course, they kept coming back. Because I don't do sympathy.
Good.
You know, so,
great.
Okay, look it up in the dictionary because you're going to find it really funny. Sympathy is really, people don't want sympathy. They really don't.
It's not on a soul level, sympathy. Empathy really
right.
is.
Yes. Empathy is on a soul level, exactly. And
yes.
the other thing is, if you know nothing about their problem, what I tell them, when they tell me, well, what do you know about it? I say, nothing. Teach me. And they do. I've never been a drug addict, and that was one of the things that they would say, well, you don't know anything about it. And I would just say, well, do you know pain? Yep, so do I. So there wasn't anywhere when I was young to run anywhere to get away from it. not like where you're living in inner city. You know what I mean? There's a difference in terms of how we learn to cope with intense emotions. I had nothing to self-medicate. There wasn't even food to self-medicate on. So you just deal with it.
So,
and I'm always open to learning.
Yeah.
So I hope that helps.
Thank you. You're still there?
Well, yeah, that's good for me. Thank you so much.
You're very
All
welcome.
Right. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
So what are... Talk to us about, you say that we can take inventory of ourselves, Amina, by using the four realities. Will you tell
okay.
us something about that?
Sure, absolutely, because you start off with the spiritual. And a lot of people, my definition of religion and spirituality. Spirituality is who we are. Religion is what we do.
Mm.
So you would start off being able to separate that. And the spirituality would be listing the things that you enjoy, that gives you joy, that makes you feel good. It's like it could be a sunrise, a sunset, a belly laugh, a new baby, all those very strong emotional feelings. They all come from your soul, and that's part of your spiritual heritage. The things that, and list all the things that you get joy out of. And then you have to... you have to, your physicality involves all your senses in your whole body that we're totally controlled from, that we're in control of, our touch, our taste, our sight, our sound, our smell, to be aware of our environment, to list what offends us about it. It's like you might be living in a home and you're a neat person, but nearly everybody else in the house is messy. So you pick your own space and you keep that the way you want it. And that brings a sense of peace, and that brings some power over your physicality, so to speak, and just being aware of what offends you and making a list of it. And then you have to go about doing something about it. Now, your personality, everybody is different. You know, they come with their own unique experience, but it's also your personal reality. Your personality creates your personal reality. If people just looked at their personality and how they do they react or do they respond to people. That's going to tell them an awful lot about their own reality. If they constantly react, they're going to have constant conflict. So I would suggest anyone out there that reacts, be quiet. If you're in a conflict with somebody and they're trying to lay all kinds of stuff on you, they can't do it if you don't react to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're left with their energy. You're not taking it on. Or you might say, well, that's interesting. Of course, that might really make him angrier, but little phases like that, they're going to stop because now you're making the decision not to take on their energy. So really looking at the personality and how it creates your own reality, I think would be a huge thing, and to make a list and see if there's any patterns there of conflictual relationships. If you have a bunch of people in your life you don't like, change your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just love them and send them on their way. And I say God bless them a million times. Because I don't like to be surrounded with a bunch of negative people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, of course, your soul speaks to you. I mean, it's like it whispers in your moment of joy, but it screams at you in your moments of pain. And a lot of us feel like if the ego pain is not greater than the ego gain, nothing will change. Because we're such a lazy bunch of spiritual beings to begin with, we're afraid of change. Fear of the unknown. My experience has always been the unknown has always been better than where I was.
Huh.
So usually it is. Fear of the unknown, it just stops the change. But actually, if you trust and go to it, you find it a lot better than it was. And people go, oh, I never realized it would be like this. I want to go, duh. Because the truth is, it usually is better. Because if fear of the unknown comes in, it's pushing you forward. It's putting you towards what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like resistance. If resistance is high on the list, it's between 1 and 10. If it's 10, that means you need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I learned
then,
that
of course,
years ago that when I was afraid of something, that was the next thing I needed to do.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what I learned about myself, too. If I resisted, I meant I need to do it. I'd go right into it and figure... Oh, it's like it can only be better,
mm-hmm.
and it usually is.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, we have another caller, and so do you want to finish something up first before we
Well, I was just
going
to talk about the spiritual part is all of that. Spiritual
mm-hmm.
part is honoring that we are spiritual beings in human form, and we hold the pure energy of the highest form, okay? And it holds the totality of the feminine and masculine essence. And just listing, how do you process your emotions? And then finding out if you're a spiritually feminine or you're a spiritually masculine, because now you can start honoring who you are. And then change what you need to... Go ahead.
Yeah, then change what you need to change.
Exactly. And ask for the higher good. Always ask for help. It doesn't matter what your religious belief system is. I demand it, of course, but because that's my right. It's there for the taking. Nobody will interfere with free will. I won't even interfere with your free will.
Great. I love that. I'm a bit of an independent person myself. We have another caller who's Alan, and thank you for that. I've taken all kinds of notes. This is really wonderful, and it's going to give me something to think about for quite a while.
Wonderful.
So, Alan, are you on the line?
I am, Eileen. How are you? Good morning, and good morning to you, Amina.
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
That's good.
I've been listening to the show here this morning, and you've already said a number of things that were worth hearing and refreshing my mind of today. I recently had my 28-year-old son and spouse moved out here. They were staying with me for about 6 weeks. They brought the cat and dog with them, and it got to the point where I wasn't enjoying the inside of the house being used for the bathroom, and we got into a pretty big tiff and argument about how they feel everything is mine versus yours. And it triggered a lot of emotions from childhood. And I tried
from his childhood or yours?
Mine, from my childhood.
Okay.
And I tried to explain to them that I do have these issues and I still try to work through them. Well, to cut the story short, it drove us farther apart. So
right.
I found myself with the power of the emotions being stronger than the power of staying present or now.
Uh-huh.
I guess my question is, because this is happening a lot, even when I'm recognizing that I'm not staying now and present and that my emotions are taking over my current feeling, what do you do? I know I can remind myself that that's now, it's not now.
What's your son's name?
It's Alex, A-L-E-X.
Okay. And what's his wife's name or girlfriend or whatever wife's name?
It's his wife, and it's Brianna.
Okay. Well, Alan, the problem with you, when somebody invades your space, you feel powerless, okay? It goes right back to not feeling, standing in your own power, and you have a problem with boundaries. Even though you're a grown man, you emotionally, the child feels all the emotions and the parents tell us all what to do and the adult just deals with the facts, okay? So when things get disturbed in you, what it does is it also disturbs up all the emotions. And the other thing that you're not dealing with, there's anger in there that you haven't yet healed. You haven't let go of it. And that comes from the childhood, okay? It's almost like that you have to constantly prove that something is yours because... it's like you want to be respected and you don't want people messing with your stuff. It's normal to get very upset about if you have animals in the house and they're not trained to go outside. And that's the part where you become very defensive and you become angry. And that's when you become powerless to change the situation, so it ends up being a big argument and nothing gets solved, okay?
And your son
is an adolescent soul. Mm-hmm. He's an adolescent soul that is trying to grow. I'm not making excuses for him. I'm just saying the normal thing that a parent and child might do, he doesn't hear. He definitely doesn't hear if anybody yells at him. He totally shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think for you it's about sitting down maybe and writing down, and what do you have the most difficult? You do have the fear of expression, and you also have the fear of rejection. And sometimes they go together. And it's about learning your truth and being able to say it. And it's about being able to say it without being angry. You might want to
understand.
You might want to get some help with that.
I would agree. I sound angry when I don't mean to be angry at all.
Yeah, well, that's old anger. Okay? That's old anger where you might be even afraid to express it, because anger is a very powerful emotion if you don't have control over it. So it might be to where you don't even know how to express it without it going out of control. And that's something you can learn through therapy or somebody coaching you, that kind of thing. Because you feel very, you know what your biggest thing is? What you can't absolutely stand, you hate to be discounted.
You're absolutely right.
That's one of your biggest core issues. You just that really, really makes you angry.
To be dismissed, absolutely does.
To be dismissed, yes. To be discounted, mm-hmm. yes. So you have to mm-hmm. go about how do you prevent that? Because once you go into the anger, you're dismissing yourself. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes this rolling ball then that just collects all that negative energy and you don't know what to do with it. So I would definitely suggest you get some help with that, because you'll be much happier if you do.
I really appreciate that. Do you think Eileen would be qualified for that?
Oh, absolutely. She sounds like she'd be qualified for almost anything.
Okay, good. Then I might even come visit her. And I'm in great hands, Omina.
Yeah, absolutely. You most certainly are.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, you've answered my question. Thank you very much.
Okay, so that's a very interesting thing, Omina. If a person has a fear of being discounted or dismissed, I know therapy ways of doing it, but I'm thinking if I'm listening to this program and I have concern, what you're really saying is that the real issue is that we dismiss ourselves. We discount ourselves.
Yes.
We're not in our power. Isn't that correct?
Yes. Absolutely, because we're being dismissed at a very young age, which means we don't count, and that becomes a very sore point. So then when somebody else comes along, bringing your animals into the house and letting them do what they do is definitely disrespectful and dismissing somebody's wishes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that brings up all those old childhood things. And that's where he needs to go. He needs to go and find out the very first time. That's what I do with people. I bring them to the very first time they had that feeling.
Uh-huh.
Just been collecting energy ever since.
Yes, and that's what it does in all of us. I just want to be clear about it. And one of the things that I've learned in therapy is I can either correct it now, or I can go back in my imagination and correct it at the point that it happened, and it will still heal.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so people
because
can
because imagination
that.
Is a form of meditation.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it's all part of that part of the magical part that we can do for ourselves, is to be able to go back there and see it, acknowledge it, that it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you understand it, people can let it go. They can say, it's like, oh, I got that. I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to allow myself to be dismissed anymore.
Uh-huh.
You're powerless when you're a child. When you're dismissed as a child, you're powerless to do anything.
Uh-huh.
So, you know. So if he comes to you for therapy, that'll be wonderful.
Well, so that's interesting. I learned so much traveling with my granddaughter. I know her parents do listen to her, but she was talking about times when she felt dismissed. She was talking about that with me. And it struck me that that's very difficult. When you're in a young body and you've got adults who have their own thing that they're trying to do or whatever, they're trying to keep up with the way families run and the way schools run in the modern world, it's very difficult to help your child have a life where they don't feel dismissed part of the time.
Right, but it's also part of the learning. You have to understand if they're basically healthy parents and they dismiss them once in a while, they're teaching the child to cope. When the child then may have some inner resources to understand that it's not a major thing. It depends on what the dismissal is about. I mean, if they have healthy parents, they usually don't dismiss everything. Because some children are more demanding than others. You're the grandmother, you see. I'm a grandmother. Mm-hmm. We do it totally different when we're grandmothers than when we were parents.
Yes.
Okay, and that's why grandmothers are wonderful to have a good relationship with the grandchildren, because you have the opportunity to tell them, well, honey, that had nothing to do with you. That was because your mom and dad was preoccupied with something else.
Right. And that's
and you give them that message, then they don't feel dismissed.
And I want to ask you one more question, and that is about mental illness.
Yes.
Is mental illness, I mean, we're in a culture here where we have more diagnoses than you can shake a stick at. We're feeding medications to people as if they're candy. And so a lot of people feel or believe that they have a mental illness or a syndrome or anything like that. Just was hoping that you could give some insight on what happens with us when, or what is it all about that we get diagnosed, we look to having a problem, we get a fix through a pill, and then what?
Well, we've always had mental illness, and there's only about five or six organic ones that you can actually call mentally ill that are medically treated.
Right.
An awful lot of the other mental illness are character disorders that you can't medicate that. But then what happens is when you're in a capitalist type environment, an awful lot is economically driven because there's a great deal of money in the medications, the diagnosis. You know, somebody came up with a great line of, if you have all of this, we can do all of this, and this is all the money it's going to make.
Right.
Now, mentally, people that come in my spiritual world, people that come into this lifetime and they have a major mental illness, one of the organic ones that they have to live with, it's because it's very karmic. Souls go on not doing the work, and when they don't do the work, they have to spend one lifetime mentally ill.
Uh-huh.
And if you think of people that are schizophrenic, if they have hallucinations or thoughts, or it's almost like the bleed through from the brain. One that I worked with, he was constantly an Indian chief. He collected all the dresses, he collected all the spears, you name it, and then he was doing all from the 18th century, all the swords. All now, don't tell me that's not from past lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And there's just things that they, it's like the brain chemistry is totally, totally not wired, and medication doesn't heal it. It just brings down the symptoms for whatever they might be dealing with. But we're in a country, you got to remember that America is an adolescent country compared to the rest of the world. It's only 200 years old compared to countries that are thousands of years old. So the majority of the people in the country are adolescents. And you have all the divas and all the devos, or whatever you call the guys. I call them devos and divas, and they have wonderful energy are out there being who they are, but you have to be an adolescent to be able to do that. And karma begins in adolescence.
Karma begins in adolescence. Okay.
Yes. That's why you have some teenagers flying through it no problem, others because they have to do it, and depend on the age of the soul. The age of the soul corresponds very much to our own maturation from the infant, you know, the toddler, the young, the adolescent, the young adult, the mature, the old, the wise. If we know where the soul is in that hierarchy, so to speak, I do a workshop on the seven healing rays of the soul. We all come in on a ray, and depending on where we are on it, all the characteristics to that. When I'm working with people, it helps me to see where they are on that ladder in terms of educating them and helping them to
make better decisions or why they're so impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
Some adolescents, you know, you have an 80-year-old adolescent. Lots of people understand
them.
That.
Uh-huh. Very
they don't
often.
Listen.
When people say, but how could an adult do that? I say, because it's not really an adult. They're wearing an adult body, but they're not an adult.
Exactly. They're not mature, yeah. Knowledge doesn't always make people wise. It just makes them educated.
I think I could talk to you for a long time. We're actually past our time to end this show. So
yes,
I want to thank you so much, Amina, for being here today and sharing all this wisdom that you have and also talking with our callers who have called in. Thank you so much for making yourself available.
You're very welcome, and I hope to talk to you soon again. It was a pleasure.
All right.
Okay.
Next week. All right, take care. Next week, listen to Full Power Living as we visit the movies to find out more about the law of attraction, which is basic to abundance and wealth, when Brent Marchand comes to be my guest. That's October 2nd, 9 a.m. Pacific time or noon Eastern time. Paul Johnson of Fresh Talk Media has been our producer. Thank you, Paul. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.